Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our great friends from Encourage. Want to introduce first, Kim Shields. Kim, always good to see you. Always good to talk with you.
Great to see you.
Thanks for being here, Kim. More with you in a moment. But we also want to introduce to us our friends, Wisconsin Rapids Area Habitat for Humanity. We have Guadalupe with us, Larry and Jim. I'll let you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves in a moment. But thank you very much for being here and bringing this topic to our audience. Kim, want to start with you, though, and get an update a little bit about Encourage and some of the matching donations that are going on.
Yes. So I just want to make sure to send a very special thank you to all of our community members and donors that have supported us during our 30th year and since we have begun. Last year, as I had mentioned several times, we were celebrating our 30th year, and we had an anonymous supporter that provided several match opportunities. And we are just so appreciative of the outpouring of support that we received from our community to match those donations. So a huge thank you to everyone. Those donations went to our Friends of Encourage Fund and really help us to do our work in the community. And we can't do our work without you. So thank you so, so much for those donations.
We got an amazing community, and more on that in a moment here and everything. But one of the most powerful things in this area in central Wisconsin is the idea of strangers helping strangers. Mm-hmm. And you see it so often, and these anonymous donations, they every time it gets you, it never does. Gets old. It's beautiful. And it also in many ways helps free up or helps initially, you know, right straight up the online scholarship applications.
Absolutely.
And those are open, Kim.
Absolutely. Yes, they are open. The application had opened mid-December, and the applications are being completed, which I'm so pleased to see. I actually talked with some Lincoln High School seniors yesterday, and we asked how many students had started their application, and about half in the room raised their hand, which was wonderful. They had some great questions and some specifics about scholarships themselves, the process. And one thing I told them was the scholarship applications are due on Friday, January 24th at 11:59 p.m. But don't wait until 11:59 p.m. to hit submit.
It's a good lesson to learn early.
Exactly. So start them now. We have a wonderful partnership with International Scholarship Tuition Services. It's a national organization. And ISTS has helped us with our online application. They have customer care staff available to answer questions as students may have while they're filling out their application. And so we really encourage those students to start early and reach out if they do have questions.
And I wanted to, before we wrap up, touch on the bridge and the What If grants a little bit with
you. Yes, absolutely. With the new year, it's always a great time to talk about the different grant opportunities that we offer. We have a responsive process, so applications can be submitted at any time. They are for smaller grants, so grant requests up to $2,500. And the bridge grant is really intended for nonprofit tax-exempt organizations, kind of two purposes. If there's an unforeseen emergency or where a small amount can make a big difference. $2,500 is still a lot of money, yeah. But you know, when people have a need, it's often greater. So that's why we do say small amount. We also have our What If grants, and that's really for resident-led projects. Three unrelated individuals, they have a great idea, want to see something happen in their community, join forces.
Do you have any examples of that, Kim? Just possible, just out of thin air, just anything that stands out, maybe.
Yeah. So one of our recent examples was Science by the River. So that just happened in October. And residents, general residents, also people from the UW Extension, connected with Clean Green Action Committee. And we had this wonderful event that happened this fall. So that's a great example.
Already have had people coming in talking about next year's and what to expect and everything. Like, it's become that popular already.
That's wonderful.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Wonderful. A recent example for a bridge grant application is affiliated with our guests here today for Habitat for Humanity. They had, costs of cabinet flooring, equipment, supplies. We all know that they were increasing, mm-hmm. and they were working on their recent home builds, and had a need for to help support the increased costs. And so we were able to come in with a bridge grant and award $2,500 to help offset those fees. So we're just so appreciative to have that flexibility to do that.
And we're going to talk with the gang from Habitat, from our local Habitat for Humanity right now. Thanks to you, Kim, and I appreciate that, bringing them in. And this is such a... I want people to keep in mind with this conversation, anytime we talk with Kim and Encourage, this is one example.
Yes.
This is one example of the many, many ways that Encourage is impacting our community, helping our community. This is the tip of the iceberg, and it's a strong tip, and it's a very important tip. But so many of the times we have people come in, I can't help but sit here and think in the middle of the conversation, well, this is one thing we're talking about,
right,
of the so many things that Encourage does. And again, we appreciate you and your team over there, Kim, but we can't do it without this community.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That also sticks to what we're talking about here with Habitat for Humanity. We're going to get into some conversation about that. But before we do, I'd like to introduce our guests. If you all wouldn't mind going down the line here and introducing yourselves to the community and how you're associated with Habitat for Humanity.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, James. I'm Guadalupe Ansel, and I'm president of our local Habitat.
James, Kim, thanks for having us. I'm Larry Turba. I'm the treasurer of Wisconsin Rapids Area Habitat.
And I'm Jim Chase. I'm also on the board, and I'm the volunteer coordinator for Habitat.
Appreciate you all being here, especially you, Jim. I will not forget your name. No, it's a great name. It's a great name. But Guadalupe, thank you again for being here as well. Talking about great names, you got just the best name in the room. I'm sorry, but you do. The name Habitat for Humanity is something that stands out. And I think that at this point in time, most people know about the organization, but I don't know that they know the organization, that they know the inner workings and the details of it, the logistics of it and everything. I want to talk about that, the mission of it. If I could start, one of my favorite lines I've ever heard in TV, buy land, God ain't making any more of it. It's a great line, but it's also very factual. And it speaks to the importance and what it means as a human being to own land, to own your own home, to have somewhere to hang your hat. It's one of the oldest things in history, in human existence. But it's something that as time has gone on has become harder and harder for individuals to have, to achieve. My mom and dad were in, the kids were all out of the house. They're in their late 40s, early 50s when they owned their first home. And it's something that was difficult, but boy, when it happened, it's something that they've owned their own home for almost 20 years now. And it's something they still revel in and pride in. We came from the projects. We came from apartment buildings that barely had walls to them and everything. For them to own their own house, their own land, it's something that I guarantee right now they're still taking pride in and enjoyment in. It's something that almost every individual, I would say every individual deserves and deserves a right to feel. That's all well and good, but for decades and decades, we never had anything to really help individuals that were in those situations. Then Habitat for Humanity came around, and I want to start right there with you guys. And what who founded Habitat for Humanity and what the mission of it is?
All right. great question, James. Well, there were two gentlemen, and one of them was named Millard Fuller, and he was a lawyer and a businessman. And his friend, Dr. Clarence Jordan, he was a scholar and a farmer. And just like your family, they looked at their community in Americus, Georgia, and they knew that there was a problem, and it was substandard housing in their community. So these two people got together and did a what-if conversation.
Awesome.
Yeah, they did a what-if conversation. And they said, what if we set up a program where we lend people money to buy a house at zero interest, a zero interest loan? What would that do for people? So they got together with other community members, churches especially, and they formed what was called the Partnership Housing and Fund for Humanity. And it was a no-profit, no-interest loan program for people in need who could apply for affordable, decent housing, because that's what they noticed. Substandard housing, people need something better. So Fuller established this idea, and he wondered, what if I took this to a different continent? So he went to Africa. He went to Zaire and moved his family there and decided to set up the same model there and established Habitat for International there. It wasn't called Habitat for International. It was just known as the Partnership Housing and Fund for Humanity at the time. But with the help of the churches and other organizations, he was able to successfully set up the Fund for Habitat in that part of the world. And it still continues to this day. And so in 1976, he returned home, and he decided to change the name to Habitat for Humanity. And it really became a movement of love in action with the mission to provide families in need with the opportunity to apply for and purchase affordable housing. And so today, 50 states in the United States, plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, have a Habitat for Humanity, and there are 70 countries worldwide that have a Habitat for Humanity international organization.
What one idea can do, you know, but one thought, one idea, and the see-through of that idea,
yes,
and to branch it out, to evolve it, to take it to other places and everything. There's so many different topics we could talk about that have impacted our world. Few have done what this has done.
Right.
It's remarkable what this has done and what it's done even locally and local levels to many people out there listening and maybe other areas and such. And I'm curious about our own, Guadalupe. Who founded the local Habitat for Humanity in our area, and how has that mission changed?
Well, the mission hasn't really changed, but it's interesting how this was set up. The local affiliate known as Wisconsin Rapids Area Habitat for Humanity was founded in 1992. And at that time, there were a group of community residents who were taking and participating in the Chamber of Commerce community leadership classes. And the leadership classes then asked the groups, okay, think of something that you want to do for this community. And a smaller group then decided, let's do a Habitat for Humanity affiliate in our area. And so those members took on the ambitious role to raise the funds to build affordable houses in our area. And as we know, raising funds is not an easy task. Mm-hmm. But to date, our local Habitat has built 20 houses, with the last house being sold just this past November 2024, and the first house having been built in 1994. So over 30 years ago, it was established by this group.
That's amazing. Just amazing. I'm speechless. That's amazing. I knew those numbers coming into the conversation, and just hearing you say them, it's still just, that's wonderful. What role does the Wisconsin Rapids Area Habitat for Humanity Board play in building a Habitat house, Guadalupe?
Well, we are an all-volunteer board. None of us that serve on the board receive any compensation for our services. There are some affiliates in the United States that do have administrators and staff that are paid, but we are an all-volunteer board. And each one of us, Larry is our treasurer, Jim is our volunteer coordinator, and we have other members. What are we, 11 members?
Yep.
12 members? We are 12 members, and so all of us participate in committees. Mm. We work with our committees to decide how we're going to manage the funds, how we're going to find a family, and how are we going to build this next home. Mm. And the board does focus mainly on raising funds and managing for construction, and it just amazes me how we, as a group, this small group of people, can go from the ground up, a stick home, and build it into a beautiful dream.
It's really amazing. And it's some of the better work going on in our communities. Thank you for that, Guadalupe, especially that breakdown. And I appreciate this conversation so much. One of the things that Terry John, CEO of United Way, and I talk so much about is transparency and how much so many people out there want to be a part of things, want to volunteer, donate to things, but there's this hesitancy that exists. And I think that's understandable. That's why we encourage you to ask questions. And why we have conversations like this, where we're letting people look by the man behind the curtain and all of that, and seeing what there is. And I think that not only can that encourage people more empathy and more people to be involved, but I think it's just interesting. I think it's fascinating, like you say, that a board of people, individuals can come together, come up with these things, get to where we are, and we'll talk with Jim and Larry more about the detail, the logistics of this, to the point where somebody's getting a home. Somebody, yes. A life is changing, yes. And not just a life, but possibly generations can change from that. A handed down house to the next kids and things like that. There's no words that you can put on something like that, how that can change a family and how that can change a community. That is one more family that is up on its feet, that is putting back into its community, paying taxes, doing certain things. It all ties together. It all adds up. It's a beautiful domino effect that can happen from just those board meetings, just those conversations.
Right. And at Habitat, we always say people don't want a handout. They want and deserve a hand up.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And dignity, you know, the dignity that comes with something like this. And just getting into a little bit more of the logistics of it, we're going to talk to you, Larry, a little bit. And Larry, what are the qualifications of becoming a Habitat partner family?
Sure. Well, first of all, you need to be a Southwood County resident for the past 2 years. You need to be renting a home or apartment that has some significant deficiencies. Maybe the heating system's not working, or you have electrical problems, structural issues, anything that can make the home difficult to live in. Or possibly it's too small. It's an inadequate number of bedrooms for the size of your family. And the other thing that we have is we deal mostly with low to moderate income families. You have to have a household income that's less than 60% of county median. So, for example, if you have a family of four, the income has to be $52,000 or less.
You know, there's a saving factor in that. And unfortunately, we learned this through the housing crisis and some of those things and everything when they were just handing out loans to people that couldn't pay them. That didn't help anybody. That just put people back in the same spot. Having this caveat there is really helping a lot of the communities, a lot of the families out there. It's not keeping anybody from anything. It's not putting them in a position that they can't succeed in. I think it's a really smart key part of this that doesn't get brought up often, I think, but it's a noteworthy thing. Thank you for mentioning that.
Very true. We don't want to put them in a situation that's untenable for
mm-hmm.
them.
What is the application process like?
Well, you can go out to our website, download an app, and complete it, or you can email us, call us. We'll send you an app in the mail. After you've completed the app, we do the initial financial review to make sure that you do qualify under the standards we just talked about. Qualified applicants at that point, we have our family selection committee go to their home and do a in-home interview with them to get to know the family, make sure that family is qualified from the other aspects of their current living situation, and that there would be a good partner for us in building a new home.
And what is the purchasing process like, Larry?
Well, first of all, they partner with us to build the home. It's a partnership. And we sell the home to them at our cost. I think, James, there's kind of a misconception about Habitat that we give them the home, and that's not at all the case. We sell the home to them at our cost. Now, the savings for them is really with our wonderful volunteers. None of our volunteer hours are charged to the homeowner. It's all free to them. So that really helps keep the cost a little bit lower, although, as you know, the housing costs have risen pretty dramatically. Yeah. So we do everything we can to make the house affordable for the family. And then we also provide a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at no interest. So they make payments to us to repay the cost of the home over 30 years. And then we also have an escrow so that they can escrow for their taxes and insurance, just like any of the rest of us that have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very similar to that, except the 0%.
It's a great breakdown. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the time and appreciate what you're putting into this very much. And Jim, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the volunteering part of this.
Okay, the volunteers are the main part of our whole project. Yeah. We partner with contractors. We have a plumber contractor, electrical contractor, HVAC, and excavator and cement contractor. Mm-hmm. And then we provide all the work for the actual building of the house. Typically, our guys work between 8 and 1 o'clock. Most of us are retired. Yeah. I've got 32 on my list right now, of which we typically have between 6 and 12 that show up each day for the build site.
And for those thinking about volunteering with this, a good commitment, but not an overwhelming commitment, you know, which I think would be surprising to some people out there. But this is something that you can be a part of and doesn't necessarily it take away your, you know, whole month or something like that. I think that's a cool part of this.
Right. The guys can work 1 hour a day, or they can work the full 4 or 5 hours a day. We don't have any, you know, any time set. We have a lot of fun on the build site, and part of that is the guys really take ownership of the house. They enjoy being part of this project. They enjoy being part of the concept, and like I say, we just have a lot of fun. We put in, I think, 2,300 hours on the last house that we built. So typically a house is 50% labor, 50% materials. Mm-hmm. So we provide the labor part of it. And then we also get the homeowners involved, too, to put in hours as well to help us out.
Which is such a cool part of this, too. And really, the volunteers are such the heart of this. They really are. While you guys and the board do such amazing work and everything, and really the brains of so many of these things, our volunteers are such the heart of this, and greatly appreciate them, and look for more volunteers to be a part of this in the future, as we look to the future. And we hope to this organization to grow, make more houses, all of these things we can do with our communities and our individuals out there. As we wrap up, do you mind touching on what is in store? What are some of the needs for the Habitat for Humanity? What are things we can do to help the future of this organization?
Well, James, our goal is truly to make the home as affordable as possible for the family, as Larry mentioned. And to do that, we do need to keep the cost of labor and materials as cost-effective as possible. And so I think our big-ticket items, as Jim just mentioned, are the contractors. And if we could find contractors that would, you know, give us a good deal or even donate their time and labor, that would be so appreciative. When Glenn Knorr was owner of the Valley Concrete or Concrete Valley, he generously donated the concrete for the projects. So something like that will bring the cost down for the family. Even donating gift cards to us to purchase building materials, expensive things like showers for the homes are, you know, sometimes really increase the cost. But if we can keep that cost down for the family, it makes it more affordable for them. We are very appreciative of any donation, really. I mean, we had a woman who gave us $10. And how can you put a price on that generosity?
Yeah.
You just can't. The value of that $10 is amazing.
Do you have another Habitat House planned?
Yes, we do.
All right.
We've already, Jim and the volunteers have already started working on that.
Yeah, our present house is located on 21st Avenue South, just south of Grand. We started in December. We spent a couple days over there starting to brush out the area and get it ready. We're probably going to break ground sometime early spring.
Very cool. Plan
on building the house through the summer.
I come from a construction family. My father, my grandfather, so many of us worked in construction our whole lives. And it was about a month or so ago, I took my dad driving around town a little bit, looking at some of the buildings that he's worked on, because even 20 years later, he's still taking pride in a lot of that. This is something that our whole community can do that with. We can all be a part of this. We can all take pride in these buildings, whether it is donating dollars, where they're volunteering and being a part of things, picking up a hammer and showing up down there. These are the kind of ways that you can be a part of this too, everybody, and encourage you to. And if people do want to be a part of things in any of these ways, Guadalupe, how can they do that? What is some contact information for Habitat for Humanity?
Well, our voicemail telephone number is 715-422-1925. Our website is wrahfh.org, and our email address is webmaster@wrahfh.org.
Greatly appreciate the time, and even more appreciate everything you guys and your board and all these volunteers are doing for our community. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk with you again real soon. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
And thank you to Kim and Encourage, of course. We appreciate you guys. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here.